We were doing so good. What happened? We made some great progress in our region when it came to COVID, but it looks like positive cases are starting to tick up again. Connecticut and New York rank among the worst in the country for new coronavirus infections, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Now we're finding it more in the younger population. And it's concerning because obviously we'd want to limit the number of hospitalization or any of those things with the COVID as much as possible. But that population is still getting infected.
Dr. AJ Kumar is Chief Clinical Officer at Hartford Healthcare. He says up until now, vaccinations have been given to people 45 and up. Kumar says hospitals have seen fewer of them getting admitted for coronavirus, while unvaccinated young people get exposed to the virus and its more contagious variants. States urge college students not to travel for spring break. Health officials warn of another COVID surge.
You're listening to C19, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut, New York region.
Coming up, New York legalizes recreational marijuana, President Biden's plan for offshore wind could be a help to Connecticut, and lawmakers approve Suffolk's plan for police reform.
I'm Bill Buckner.
And I'm Sabrina Garone.
New York Governor Andrew Cuomo today signed a bill legalizing the adult use of recreational marijuana. Karen DeWitt reports New Yorkers 21 and over will be able to buy marijuana as soon as next year.
Senator Liz Krueger has sponsored the bill for 7 years.
New York's program will not just talk the talk on racial justice, it will walk the walk, ending racially disparate enforcement that was endemic to prohibition, automatically expunging the records of those who were caught up in the so-called war on drugs.
40% of the estimated $350 million gained annually from a 13% sales tax on the drug will go to a community reinvestment fund for neighborhoods adversely impacted by the decades-long prohibition of the drug. 50% of the licenses to grow and sell marijuana will be reserved for people from disproportionately impacted communities and small farmers. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
President Joe Biden's goal is to bring 30 gigawatts of offshore wind power online by the end of the decade. That aligns with the regional power grid's plan to connect more clean energy to New England. WSHU's J.D. Allen explains that could help Connecticut in reaching its zero-carbon electricity goal by 2040.
ISO New England operates the region's bulk power system and wholesale electricity market. It distributes power to utility companies with the hopes that that power would be retailed at lower prices for consumers. At least that was the theory when it was created in the late 1990s to establish competitive pricing for power.
When the markets first started, we saw more resources were located in northern New England, and so there was a pricing advantage.
That's Ann George, a spokesperson for ISO. She says competitive pricing and a regional grid operator has opened the door to more power resources spread throughout New England.
We've seen the pricing differences between the New England states really go away on the wholesale market.
That's important as the Biden administration greenlights more offshore wind in the Northeast. George says clean energy brought in off the coast through transmission cables can benefit any New England state as if it was in their backyard.
When resources are located in your state and near load centers, they're helpful to the state, absolutely, in terms of access to that power and the reliability of that power.
George says reliance on natural gas and other fossil fuels is inevitable while more offshore wind comes online to power 10 million homes. J.D. Allen, WSHU News.
Mandatory plans for police reform are due tomorrow for departments in New York. County lawmakers just gave Suffolk's plan the stamp of approval. More on that after some headlines and a message from C19's supporter.
Support for C19 comes from Hartford Healthcare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600. Thank you.
looking to get the COVID vaccine in our region? Here's the latest on how you can do that. New Yorkers, you can schedule an appointment using the Am I Eligible app or by calling 833-697-4829.
New Yorkers over 30 are eligible for the vaccine, as well as government and nonprofit workers.
Connecticut residents, you can schedule an appointment by visiting ct.gov/COVID vaccine or call 877-918-2224.
Connecticut residents 45 and over and teachers and child care providers are eligible for the vaccine. Ridership on the Metro North is down 79% from pre-pandemic levels. However, it's an improvement from the worst of the pandemic last March. Metro North President Catherine Rinaldi says the commuter rail service lost 95% of its ridership last year. She says Metro North now operates at about 63% of its pre-pandemic service levels. Rinaldi was involved in a roundtable with U.S. Senator Chris Murphy and state transportation officials to speak about the future of commuter rails. Murphy also credits the impact that will come from the American Rescue Plan signed by President Joe Biden. The federal coronavirus package sets aside about $30 billion for transit grants, $970 million for Amtrak's Northeast Corridor, and $350 billion for state and local governments. The ex-police chief of Bridgeport, Connecticut, wants to serve house arrest instead of prison time. That's after former chief A.J. Perez pleaded guilty to lying to FBI investigators about a cheating scandal to get his job as top cop. His attorneys say in a court filing that Perez will pay a big price on the day he's sentenced in April and ordered to give just under $300,000 in restitution to the city. It also argues that Perez is not fully vaccinated, so he would face high-risk coronavirus exposure in prison. Perez and the former city personnel director involved in the cheating scandal both resigned from their jobs in September after their FBI arrests. Both pleaded guilty. After adding some last-minute changes pushed for by community advocates, Suffolk County lawmakers approved a state-mandated police reform plan. WSHU's Charles Lane reports.
The changes include more funding for a tiered mental health response, a permanent task force to reevaluate police in schools, and more public data about traffic, bicycle, and pedestrian stops. The revised plan also includes a more specific description about the role that the county's Human Rights Commission will have in misconduct investigations conducted by the police's Internal Affairs Bureau. Several advocates called this a band-aid solution to systemic racism. And they found support from legislator Sam Gonzalez, a Democrat from Brentwood who voted against the plan because police oversight was not truly independent.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the end, it's not going to have the impact. I cannot emphasize that we need community oversight with real power.
Gonzalez, however, praised the police union's effort to reach a compromise, and he also criticized the police department for not being transparent with its policies. The final vote on the reform plan was 16-1. Many lawmakers called the plan imperfect, but also, quote, transformative and, quote, a fundamental change. Charles Lane, WSHU News.
For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. C19 is supported by Hartford HealthCare.
Here at WSHU, we think local news is important, and we're glad you think it's important too. Thank you for your support, and thank you for sharing our podcast with your friends.
I'm Bill Buckner.
And I'm Sabrina Garone. We'll talk tomorrow.